My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, I wanted us to have a personal, real conversation today, taking a look at our second lesson from what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. All you need is love. Be honest, how many of you in your head at least just finished with dun 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 dun? Yeah. We know that song. We've heard it before. The Beatles brought it out, made it famous. Now, regardless of if we really latch on to the philosophy of why it was put out, that summer of love, the flower power idea, we might not jump full forged into that. But we have to at least acknowledge that that simple message of that song has a point. Has a good point. It has a good point because the same message of all you need in love is this world is a message that Jesus himself proclaims. Because that is the one essential in all of life. In fact, without love, we have nothing. Without love, we would have no forgiveness and no life. Because it was love that led God to send His Son into this world. It was love that led Jesus to that cross where He would suffer and die. It was love that brought Him out of the tomb. Love for you, love for me, fallen sinners that we are. And that's all we needed. Because no matter what may come up in this world, no matter what may happen, if we have forgiveness, if we have the promise of life, if we can hold on to that hope and that joy that Easter brings with that empty tomb, we have everything we need in the world. So you could say that all you need is love. Is very true. And not just, though, with our relationship with God, it also has to do with our relationship with one another in the name of Christ. That's what Paul gets at when he writes to the Corinthians. And you have to understand the history, you have to understand the context, because Corinth was a congregation that didn't show love. That really was what all the problems in Corinth boiled down to. There was a rift among the people in Corinth. Really, there were two sets of people. There were the haves and the have-nots. Does that sound familiar? They were the people who were able to go and bring about these elaborate feasts with the finest of meats and the greatest of aged wines, and they would all come together and they would eat together. But then you had the poor who had to get off of work and were bringing nothing but a sack lunch, maybe weren't bringing anything at all. And, well, you can believe that the people divided themselves based on social status. They divided themselves based upon outward things, and there was no love between them. So when Paul writes to Corinth, he says, look at all the harm that you're doing. Look at the harm that you're doing to yourselves. Look at the harm you're doing to one another because you lack love, because you don't have love. So here, 1 Corinthians 13, which is what we want to look at again, this is where Paul comes out and says, so I'm going to tell you what love is. And I'm going to tell you why it's so important. Because you could have the grandest things in the world, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. Let's take a look again. What does he write? So we're reading through 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 13. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and have all knowledge and I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own and I give up my body that I may be burned but do not have love, I gain nothing. Imagine that for a moment. Is it possible that you could have the absolute greatest gifts that God could ever give to somebody on this earth and yet still have nothing? You could be blessed physically, athletically. You could be blessed financially, intellectually. You could have the greatest gifts that God could ever give. You could be the most blessed person alive and yet have it mean nothing. Because you could have the greatest gifts in the world, but if you keep them to yourself, how does anybody benefit from them? And chances are the blessings that God gave you, you already have. You don't need them really. They're part of who you are. They're part of what you are. And yet you show no love to anybody in the world. How does anyone gain benefit from it? That's Paul's point. He tells the Corinthians, look, some of you, God has blessed greatly. He has given you wonderful things. And that's not just the rich in that society. It was also the poor. Because the poor had a leg up in other areas when it came to contentment, when it came to looking to God for blessings, even in daily bread. Everyone had a gift, something that God had led them to and given them that they could share with others. He says, but if you don't have love, then you have nothing. You could be able to speak in tongues miraculously. It happened in Corinth. And yet if you don't share the message that you receive from God through that, what good is it? You could be given the most amazing gifts of faith, but if you don't share that faith, what benefit does it serve? Because it all led down to love. Think about it. God, well, he has some pretty phenomenal gifts, doesn't he? It's God. He has perfection. He has holiness. He has life eternal in heaven and all the glory you could ever imagine. And he sent Jesus into this world with those things. But if Jesus had had no love, well, he never would have came. But he for sure never would have given up his life for you. I mean, he had perfection. He had the promise of life. And yet if he shows no love, then you and I have no benefit. You and I are still lost in our sins. We're still going to hell. Because without the love of God in our lives, we have nothing. And yet God is a God of love. It's the whole reason it prompts him to send Jesus into the world. It's the whole reason Jesus comes. It's the reason he does everything he does. It was love for you. And let's face it, it was love for the unlovable. I didn't earn God's forgiveness. I didn't deserve God's love. In fact, what does Jesus receive when he comes to this earth and says, I'm going to sacrifice myself to take away your sin and to give you eternal life. And what do the people, the Jews who knew he was coming, do? They spit in his face. What would you do? I certainly wouldn't wipe it off my face and say, I still love you. I'd probably react quite differently. But Jesus doesn't. Because he has the ultimate love. And he knew that even if these people didn't realize the gift that they were being given, he knew their need for it. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. What a statement. What a statement of love. And so he sacrifices himself for the unlovable, the ones who don't deserve it. It's really easy for us to be able to follow these words of Jesus when it suits us, isn't it? I'm going to love my spouse because I feel love in return. I'm going to love my children because I have to. I'm gonna love my family because that's the way it is. But what about that coworker who just gets on your nerves? What about that neighbor that wants to blast that terrible music at 11 o'clock every night? What about the one who keeps cutting you off on your way to work? Those people aren't exactly the easiest to love now, are they? But God didn't show love just to a select few. He loved the unlovable. He loved the ones who didn't deserve it. Because without love, we have nothing. So what does that mean for us? How do we even know what love is? Well, we see it in Christ, but Paul also describes it here because he says love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not behave indecently. It is not selfish. It is not irritable. It does not keep a record of wrong. It does not rejoice over unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never comes to an end. That's a pretty exhaustive list to define love, isn't it? We could spend all day talking about every one of those points. But I think what's important for us is to take a look at that list and then see, how does that compare with my life? How does it compare with your life? When you take a look at what God describes love to be, can you honestly say, yep, that's me? Like they were describing my life. Patient, kindness, does not envy, does not boast, is not arrogant. Oh, I lost. It's not how we live our lives because we're so corrupted by sin. It kind of gets back to the same point. This is the unlovables, right? We are the ones who haven't earned this. We haven't deserved this. But that's what love is. Love isn't showing kindness and lack of arrogance when you deserve it. Well, that's not love. That's giving people what they earned. Love is when we say, I am going to make the choice to give to you what you may not deserve. To show you the kindness that you might not show me. Because this is what Christ has done. See, that's the whole point. We live in a world that lacks love. We live in a world that needs to see the love of Christ. And that might be who we were, but it's not who we are anymore. Because we've made that transition. What are we? We're disciples. We're Christians. We've taken on the name of Jesus. And like Jesus said in our gospel lesson, the world will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So lack of love, that's who we were. It's not who we are. And that's what Paul's getting at, because the next thing he says is this. But if there are prophetic gifts, they will be done away with. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know only in part, we prophesy only in part. But when that which is complete has come, that which is partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see indirectly using a mirror. But then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I was fully known. It might sound confusing, but Paul has a point here. He says, a sinner who lacked love, that's who you were. It's not who you are now. Now you, who know Jesus, are his disciples, and the world will know you by your love. Sure, boasting in my own accomplishments, looking to see how I could serve myself, looking to see how all the gifts that God has given, and maybe even the gifts of other people, can benefit me. That was the way the world thought. That's the way we thought before. But now, that's not who we are. We're disciples of Jesus. We have a different thought process. Now, we live in love, he says. Before, I thought like a child, selfish. I don't think like a child anymore because by faith I've matured and I set aside those childish things. I don't think that way anymore because I am a forgiven child of Christ. That's not what it's all about anymore. Before we only saw it like a shadowy image. You've ever looked at something in a mirror, and we're not talking the perfect mirrors we have now, okay? Hold up a nice gleaming silver dinner plate and see how the reflection of something looks skewed. That's the mirror he's talking about. We only got to see love in part before, but when Christ has come, he has made it fully known. When Jesus dies on the cross, now we see a clear image of love. There's no doubt about it. We know what it is now. And that's how we are, not how we used to be. That's the image of love that we see. So he ends with the encouragement. So now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. That's a pretty impressive list to be included in. Faith, that which brings about our salvation, because that which God gives so that we can receive all he has done for us. Hope, the comfort of knowledge, of knowing that something better is coming. I mean, that is what everything clings to. The hope of a better life, the hope of forgiveness. And in the midst of that exhaustive list, Jesus says, and love. And he says, the greatest of these is love. You have faith. You know that Jesus is your Savior. You trust that He took away your sins. And that's wonderful. By that great gift of God, you will be saved. But without love, how does it serve anybody else? How does anyone else know that they may come to faith too? You have the hope of eternal life and the glory that is to come. You know that you will receive the crown that is yours by right now through what Jesus has done. But without love, what does that hope do for you? Yeah, self-serving, it will accomplish something, but how does it benefit anybody else in the world? All you need is love. That's what Jesus says is the last into the mix. You already have all of the things that I have given to you. Now you need love so that the world may know who you are, so that they may see me through you, and that they will have faith and hope and love. It all hinges on that. It was the love of Christ that was so desperately needed in our lives. It was the love of Christ that brings about your forgiveness in life. And now it is the reflected love of Christ within us that does the same thing in the world, that they may see Him, that they may know Christ. So what does it mean for our lives? With how we live and with people we interact with, what we're going to do when we leave this building today? All you need is love. Because that is what we were given in Christ, and that's all we needed for life and for salvation. It's all we need out there. The world will know who we are. The world will know who Jesus is if we let them see Him through our love. Amen.